The subliminal kid moved in and took over bars, cafes, and jukeboxes of the world's cities, and installed radio transmitters and microphones in each bar, so that the music and talk of any bar could be heard in all his bars. And he had tape recorders in each bar that played and recorded at arbitrary intervals. And his agents moved back and forth with portable tape recorders and brought back street sound and talk and music and poured it into his recorder array. So he set waves and eddies and tornadoes of sound down all your streets and by the river of all language. Word dust drifted down streets of broken music, car horns and air hammers. The word broken, pounded, twisted, exploded in smoke. Word falling. He set up screens on the walls of his bars opposite mirrors and took and projected at arbitrary intervals, shifting from one bar to the other, mixing Western gangster films of all time and places with word and images of the people in cafes and on the streets. His agents with movie camera and telescopic lens poured images of the city back onto his projector and camera array, and nobody knew whether he was in a Western movie, in Hong Kong, or the Aztec Empire, in ancient Rome, or suburban America. Whether he was a bandit, a commuter, or a chariot driver. Whether he was firing a real gun, or watching a gangster movie. And the city moved in swirls and eddies and tornadoes of image, explosive bio-advance out of space to neon. Photo falling. The subliminal kid moved in seas of disembodied sound. His agents with movie swirled through all the streets of image and brought back street and music from the city and poured Aztec Empire and ancient Rome, a million drifting screens on the walls of his city, projecting mixing sound of any bar. The kid stirred in sex films, and the people's city pulsed in a vast orgasm. And no one knew what was film and what was not, and performed all kind of sex acts on every street corner.
I've changed my lifestyle.
Yeah, well,
and what I do now is I do things backwards. If I get a piece of pie, I eat it from the backwards to the front, because you never know when the world's going to end. And when I make love to my wife, we have the orgasm first, and then we do the foreplay.
Well, that's very smart thinking.
I've never heard that before.
You know, Martha Stewart has been pushing that for ever so long. You know, clean the dishes first, then eat the dinner, you know. But
as it says in the Bible, go for the gusto.
He took film of sunsets and cloud and sky, water and tree. Film and projected color in vast reflector screens, concentrating blue sky, red sun, green grass, and the city dissolved in light. And people walked through each other. There was only color and music and silence where the words of Hassan Issaba had passed.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Get it out of your head and into the machines. Stop talking. Stop arguing. Let the machines talk and argue. A tape recorder is an externalized section of the human nervous system. You can find out more about the nervous system and gain more control over your reaction by using a tape recorder than you could find out sitting 20 years in the lotus position. Whatever your problem is, just throw it into the machines and let them chew it around a while. The soundtrack conjures up the image track. Word came before image. Shut off the soundtrack on your TV set and put in your own soundtrack. Words, music, what you will. Now, play back your soundtrack and you will see the images sharp and clear. Record soundtracks off TV and film programs. Mix in suggestions from rewrites to microphones and radio cruise cars. Press a button and record all sounds and voices of the city. Press a button to feed back these sounds with cut-ins a few seconds later. Rub out the word. There is no one there to hear it.
You're back on the crack.
Doggone it. We're back.
Yes, and with us, Phil Austin, David Osman, and Phil Proctor, your hosts, with Peter Bergman, the Fire Sign Theater, bringing you the real, the surreal, Under the Wraps Rose Bowl. So turn on ABC, Channel 7, in New York, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, turn down the sound, and we'll give you the real thing. What's happening now, Phil?
Is this me? Am I Bill?
Yeah, no, Phil.
Phil,
yes.
Oh,
because you're the sports
guy. Phil, would you be Phil for a while?
No, you're the sports guy. You know, you told us earlier that they were carrying mushroom spores in those pigskins. I've learned now that those are haggises. That's literally breakfast and dinner food that they're warming up under their arms as they run from the other people that want to eat it. It has to do with the fact that there's not enough to go around.
Happy Pendant and News Now Chopper, what's happening, Happy?
Well, there seems to be a freeway chase going on right now, but it's come to a complete stop because of the parade. So
why are they chasing this guy?
This is the time machine. This is the machine that takes us backward into the past. You know, there's many people...
Oh, that's why... Oh, look, OJ's on it.
Yeah, there's many people that believe that come with a Y2K, we're going back to the year 1900. This is a salute to 1900, the year when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series.
Well, according to my notes, this is the new SUV 2000. Mm. Bigger, higher, less gas efficient, and more expensive than ever.
You two should coordinate your notes.
Well, you know, it's the same thing. This is also the 1900 salute to the fact that in 1900, Howard Stern was not on the radio.
Dave, this is a salute to prepared material.
Yes, it is.
Burroughs wrote The Soft Machine, the ticket that exploded in Nova Express using cut-up.
It's not just the writing, which was well-known.
Oliver Harris.
It was the photomontages, the tapes, the artwork. Rather than cut-up being a dead end, it was incredibly, it proliferated, it overran expectations and possibilities.
Now here are some tapes which Brian made with all the technical facilities of the BBC in London, and they show, I think, what can be done with a human voice and one phrase.
All active, calling
all reactive agents.
All active, calling all active agents, recalling all active agents, recalling all active reagents, calling
all agents reactive.
Calling all reagents.
I'm also working on a short film with Mr. Anthony Balch.
Towers open fire.
Who are you?
I'm Bill. Who are you?
I'm Tony. Where are you, Bill?
In a 1920 movie, Tony. Where are you?
I'm in London.
The total taste is here. Have a half.
Is this machine recording? Is this machine recording? Is this machine recording?
Johnson, addressing a meeting of editorial cartoonists at the White House, held three maids at gunpoint and proceeded to ransack the apartment.
Webb? Vacant courage to let all messages in and out. To the mountain wind, loud and clear now. Through faulty human equipment, hustling myself. Your stale overcoat not taking any dirty pictures. Twisting hole in everybody. Spilling out limestone, John Hamburger, Mary Jackie, Blue Note. Had enough movies. No good, no bueno.
By now, you have an insight into the control machine and how it operates. How newspapers speak news.
You will hear the disembodied voice, which speaks through any newspaper on lines of association and juxtaposition. The mechanism has no voice of its own and can talk indirectly only through the words of others.
Speaking through comic strips, news items, advertisements, talking
above all through names and numbers. Numbers are repetition, and repetition is what produces events.
Dead fingers talk.
With his last mooch, nickel, Burroughs sneaked off to the payphone and called the law of all the cheap, lousy tricks, Burroughs, to call the law on your old friends.
Yes, he was wising up the marks. Willie the Fink, they called him, among other things. Syndicates of the universe feeling for him with distant fingers of murder. Nova Police. Yes, I think we can quash the old Nova warrants. Work with us. We want names and coordinate points. Your application for biologic transfer will have to go through channels and is no concern of this department. Now, we'll have a look at your room, if you don't mind.
They went through his photos and papers with fingers light and cold as spring wind. Willie had worked with them before. He knew they were undercover agents working under conditions as dangerous as his own. They were dedicated men and they would sacrifice him, or any other agent, to arrest the Nova mob.
Uranian Willie, the heavy metal kid, also known as Willie the Rat.
When you can't stand the pace in the big rodent race, come on in where it's safe, where the menu is trained. There's a smell in the air that reminds you of hair. You've got something to get, and it looks like your pet.
Aren't you hungry?
First we take some rat parts and fry them up real nice. Then we skin the kitties and barbecue the mice.
Guts in a cup, yum! Mouse on a stick, wow!
French fried fleas and beer battered tits.
Rat in a butt.
We fry what you want.
Rat in a butt.
We fry what you want.
Rat in a butt.
We fry what you won't touch.
He wised up the marks. This is war to extermination. Fight cell by cell through bodies and mind screens of the earth. Souls rotten from the orgasm drug, flesh shuddering from the ovens. Prisoners of the earth, come out. Storm the studio. Burnt metal smell of interplanetary war in the raw noon streets, swept by streaming glass blizzards of enemy black. Ship linguals, free doorways, cut word lines, photo falling, word falling. Breakthrough in Grey Room. Towers, open fire. Partisans of all nations, open fire. tilt, blast, pound, stab, strap, kill. Pilot K-9, you are cut off. Back. Back before the whole fucking shithouse goes up. Return to base immediately. Right, music beam, back to base. Stay out of that time flak. All pilots, right pan pipes back to base. Technician mixed a bicarbonate of soda, surveying the havoc on his view screen. It was impossible to estimate the damage. Anything put out up till now is like pulling a figure out of the air. Enemy installations shattered, personnel decimated, board books taken. Electric waves of resistance sweeping through mine screens of the Earth. The message of total resistance on shortwave of the world. This is war to extermination. Shift linguals, cut word lines, vibrate tourists, free doorways. Photo falling, word falling. Breakthrough in gray room. Calling partisans of all nations. Towers, open fire.
Calling partisans of all nations. Shift linguals, free doorways. Word lines, photo falling, word falling. Enemy is tired, we attack. Towers, open fire.
The Heavy Metal Kid returned from a short blue holiday on Uranus and brought suit against practically everybody in the biologic courts.
They are giving me a short count,
he said in an interview with your reporter.
And I won't stand still for it.
Fade out. Corridors and patios and porticos of the biologic courts, swarming with terminal life forms desperately seeking extension of cancelled permisos and resident certificates. Brokers, fixers, runners, debarred lawyers, all claiming family connection with court officials, professional half-brothers and second cousins twice removed, petitioners and plaintiffs screaming through the halls, holding up insect claws, animal and bird parts, all manner of diseases and deformities received in the service of distant fingers, shrieking for compensations and attempting to corrupt or influence the judges in a thousand languages living and dead, in color flash and nerve talk, catatonic dances and pantomimes illustrating their horrible conditions which many have tattooed on their flesh, to the bone and silently pick at the audience chamber. Others carry photo collage banners and TV screens flickering their claims.
The collages I started to do for the East Village Other, which I called combinages, mutated into an amusing slideshow I narrated in performance at the Ash Grove and elsewhere. It honored our July 1969 landing on the moon and included a junker of a car floating through outer space and an astronaut hanging onto the cord of a giant electric toothbrush in orbit. The first docking in space captured a couple from a nudist magazine preparing to link up high above the Earth. The originals have all been lost now due to a break-in at our storage facility, but I have the slides of most of them. Collages were part of my life when I reported on the Monterey Pop Festival for KRLA and wrote about it for the East Village Other. And I exhibited my work in the Ash Grove as well, because the way I see it, art is a personal perspective. I combined images to reveal new meanings, just like fire sign. I remember looking at a Life magazine back then and seeing on one page an undernourished Vietnamese child eating out of a can, and right next to it, an ad for a dietary supplement. And I simply combined those images. My supposition is that the brain is making unconscious associations all the time. The brain has a hiccup when it processes the Vietnamese boy on one page and the vitamin supplement next to him. Our material was disseminated and inseminated by the FM radio revolution, when challenging and diverse sounds were sought after by listeners and management alike. College radio stations especially helped us because they were non-commercial, and some freaky broadcasting major could play an entire side of our material, allowing listeners to steep themselves in the soundscapes we created. Rather than presenting a live stand-up transcription or a sketch that ran a few minutes, FM radio allowed Firesign to change the expectations of comedy for its listeners.
Our time is a time for crossing barriers, for erasing old categories, for probing around. When two seemingly disparate elements are imaginatively posed, put in apposition in new and unique ways, startling discoveries often result.
Willie's attorneys served the necessary low-pressure processes, and the controllers were sucked into the audience chamber for the first hearing. Green people in limestone calm, remote green contempt for all feelings and proclivities of the animal host they had invaded with inexorable moves of time, virus, birth, death. With their diseases and orgasm drugs, and their sexless parasite life forms. Heavy metal people of Uranus wrapped in cool blue mist of vaporized banknotes. And the insect people of Minrida with metal music. Cold insect brains and their agents like white hot buzzsaws sharpened in the ovens. The judge, many light years away from possibility of corruption, gray and calm with inflexible authority, reads the brief. He appears sometimes as a slim young man in short sleeves, then middle-aged, and red face, sometimes very old like yellow ivory.
My God, what a mess,
he said at last. He glanced at the brief.
It would seem that the Uranians represented by the plaintiff Uranian Willie and the Green people represented by Ali Wanchapalta Pick are prepared to mediate. Will these two personalities please stand forward? Quano, I expect that both of you would hesitate if you could see. Fortunately, you have not been over-briefed. You must of course surrender all your weapons and we will proceed with whatever remains. Guards, take them to the disinfection chambers and then to the biological laboratories.
Biologic counselors must be writers. That is, only writers can qualify, since the function, if counselor, is to create facts that will tend to open biologic potentials for his client. One of the great early counselors was Franz Kafka, and his briefs are still standard. The student first writes his own brief, then folds his pages down the middle, and lays it on pages of Kafka relevant to the case in hand. It is not always easy to say what is and is not relevant. To indicate the method, here is a tentative brief for the first hearing in biologic court.
It should in effect nothing at all. Confirms what I say. These! That I take my stand here, not for myself alone. To steal my clothes. They had orders to arrest establishments which contains a retinue of civil servants, officers, police, and others. Perhaps even hangman!
5 minutes ago.
What's happening to me is of no great importance. But I should in effect nothing at all. Police and others! Police and others! Half of you clapped. It was just to lead me on. Get out of my way.
This boy, you
I have been arrested. And perhaps, considering the magistrate's opening statement, perhaps they... Maybe you wanted some practice in fooling an innocent man. Perhaps you fainter, who may well be as innocent as I am. The arresting officer even tried to get me to bribe them. And what was the answer of your self-styled inspector? If you would hear, he would...
Clearly the whole defense must be experiments with two tape recorder mutations.
Police!
Splice your body sounds with the body sounds of your best friend and see how familiar he gets. Everybody, splice himself with everybody else. Biologists talk about creating life in the test tube. All they need is a few tape recorders.
I want to read you a few more poems, some recent things. And first of all, because you've been good listeners and all, I'll give you something that will require, once again, your divided attention. I like things which demand that you use more than one part of your brain at a time. That's what the Firesign albums did in their layers of complexity, and that's what I try to do in some poems, although I'm not, I don't bring my tape recorder along and, you know, I'm not into that kind of, but I do have a tape here that I will put on. So I can read some poems for two voices. Lip reading for Sylvia Frumpkin. I was an eye on a stick. I was my son's voice. I was a landscape.
I was
like
only
a
half a lover.
I wanted to write a poem on a rocks. I wanted to hear you talking about me. I thought about how I could fuck you. I thought I would write about breakfast. I lay in bed
to write about it.
Santa Fe Red. Uno, dos. String
pinion
logs,
chiles
in a nest
of fire,
slick as lava,
rolls across
as cinders,
tiles
wet as flesh,
red-eyed
smolders
against
weight.
The ash-white wall.
Evening in Albuquerque. Shocking.
Old folks off the tour bus.
Insects.
Open up their doors.
Sing in the heat.
Search out ice.
Our TVs
the Burger
buzz
King among the Indian
around
signs.
The auto court.
Stroll together.
Time rides
in
the heat.
Faster.
The
in
heat.
This
long,
the heated,
starred
western light.
Desire. Like the moon on a fan, night sky folded into a stick,
spreading open,
the master wraps my head
a month of
impatiently.
Slow days.
Stereo poem.
The voices
yes,
came out of his
just
head,
like starting
ears
over,
ears held in
the
Japanese
sweet
high
devices,
notes that make
locking
us
locking whatever's in between,
the radio
in
always on,
bondage,
low in the candlelight sweat.
Biologic agent K-9 called for his check and picked up supersonic initiation blasts of the Death Dwarfs. L'addition, 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 garçon, 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 American tourist accent to the ninth power. He ordered another coffee and monitored his cafe, a whole table of them imitating word forms and spitting back at supersonic speed. Several patrons rolled on the floor in switch fits. These Noxious dwarfs can spit out a whole newspaper in 10 seconds, imitating your words after you and sliding in suggestion insults. That's the entry gimmick of the Death Dwarfs.
The German Dwarf! A game called the German Dwarf.
I wish you wouldn't talk about
it. I wish you wouldn't talk about our leader that way.
You mean the little
really
Schnapper?
No!
Bad, no!
No!
Call him the Schnacker.
Oh, okay. The little Schnacker.
Are you sure? Schnacker.
Yeah,
this
got
week,
a game.
Is it the Schnacker? Let me look it up in the code book.
Why don't you see what I told you?
Schnickster.
I told you.
The code is Schnickster.
Schnickster.
Hans
oh.
is right.
Oh,
yes.
my God. Oh, baby,
right,
I'm
Hans.
Out of touch.
Yeah.
The dwarf who need not be restricted to Germany, but may assume any other nationality at pleasure, then begins an harangue, interlarding it copiously with foreign words and expressions. While he speaks...
All right, mon petit. Get into that bouillabaisse.
The actor always tries to make his gestures wholly
harangue
inappropriate
salad.
To the language of the speaker and indulges in all kinds of practical jokes.
Ah, yes, my little Ricoletto. My little Parmesan, my little veal. That Fields must have been a superb player of that game.
That's where he learned the whole thing.
Ah, yes. My little pas de foie. My little paws de ducks.
Yes.
Oh, which reminds me, coming attractions, I have ordered a tape of N. Eagle. That's his name, N. Eagle, who was an old pitchman in the days of the Carney shows,
oh,
and,
yeah.
and it's an
tough
incredible tape
pitch.
That you heard up at John Simon's. And
take a ring off the giant's hand, don't be afraid, step right out.
Talk
Big
about
Tom Edmonds, oh
right.
God,
and,
he's
and
a giant.
And one evening we'll play that tape as part of the show, we'll announce it up front because it's
an amazing
extraordinary thing. Yeah, it's an unreleased record, and it probably, I don't know if it'll ever get out, but it's an incredible piece of history, a verbal history.
Supersonic imitation and playback, so you think it's your own voice. Your own voice. They invade the right centers, which are the speech centers, and they are in the right, in the right, in the right, right. I'm in the right, in the right. You know I'm in the right so long as you hear me say inside your right centers, I am in the right. while sex dwarves tenderize erogenous holes so the Venusian gook rot flash round the world. Agent Canine is with the biology police assigned to bringing the dwarf plague under control by disconnecting the dwarfs from Central Control Station.
Incredible. Think me selling little Bibles for 25 cents?
No, midgets. Inside this pamphlet is everything you've ever wanted to know about midgets, friends. Can a small woman marry a normal-sized man? Can a small man marry a normal-sized woman? I know every question and thought that's going through your mind concerning midgets. But wait, these little people are going to circulate through the audience and sell you these miniature Bibles. Yes, friend, every word of the Bible can be read, and they're giving it to you for the cost of the Bible because they make very little off of it, because they make their real money in their profession, where they're the best, and they know it.
The insect brain of Minrod enclosed in a crystal cylinder from which would run cold wires to an array of calculating machines feeding instructions to the death dwarf in the street. The brain is surrounded by crab guards charged from the thermodynamic pain and energy bank. Crab guards cannot be attacked directly since they are directly charged by attack. Canine had been in combat with the crab guards, and he knew what can happen if they get their claws on your nerve centers. Canine left the cafe and surveying the street scene, he could not but feel that someone had goofed. The death dwarfs had in many cases been separated from the human host, but they were still charged with central control and yacked through the streets, imitating words and gestures of everyone in sight, while sex dwarves squirmed out of any corner with a perfunctory, "Hello there." And anyone who stood still for it dissolved erogenous holes immediately attacked by the talk dwarves, so that in a few seconds the unfortunate traveler was torn to pieces, which the dwarves snatched from each other's mouth with shrill silver screams.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring out some of those tiny little people, the world's smallest men and women. If you'll gather in a little nearer, I'm going to have them entertain you. I'm going to have them tell you where they came from, what they do in this big show. This show is operated by these little people, and I am employed to just make the announcement and tell you that they are ready to give their big performance. Do you see these little men and women out here? Most people are under the impression that all the midgets in the world come from a colony over in Europe, namely Germany. I want to assure you that such is not the case. You want to see something extra special? Don't buy a ticket yet. Wait a minute. I'm going to bring out little Margie. Margie is the smallest one, in fact, no larger than a doll. So tiny, so diminutive, so cute, she can actually stand in the palm of my hand. She plays a clarinet.
In fact, the noxious behavior of this life form harried the citizens beyond endurance, and everyone carried elaborate homemade contrivances for screening out the talk dwarves and a specific special plastic cover to resist erogenous acids of the sex dwarves. Without hesitation, Canine gave the order. Release silence virus. Blanket area. So the silent sickness flashed round the world at speed of light. As a result, many citizens, who had been composed entirely of word, went ape straight away and screamed through the streets attacking the passers-by who, in many cases, went ape in turn as the silence sickness hit. To combat these conditions described as intolerable, political leaders project a stern noble image from control towers, and some could occupy and hold up the ape forms for a few days or weeks. Invariably, the leader was drained by the gravity of unregenerate apes, torn in pieces by his relapsing constituents, or went ape himself on TV. So the survivors, as they call themselves, lived in continual dread of resistant dwarfs, always more frantic, host-hungry, knowing that at any minute the men might, next to you in the street, might go mandrel and leap you through your throat with virginal canines. Canine shrugged and put in a call for technicians. Error in enemy strategy is now obvious. It was a machine strategy. Machine can't be redirected. Now written connection in the soft typewriter, machine can only repeat your instructions. Since it cannot create anything, the operation is very important.
Grimm had a television set, black and white, you know, television set, with no tuning knob like many people did. He had a pair of pliers on top of the television, which he changed. Don't crush that dwarf, my friend. Hand me the little pliers.
That's
one way.
That's standard bureaucrat.
Also, once we came up with the title, or come up with these titles, we would start to think in various ways about what it meant. What does this mean?
Yeah.
And one of the things was that we heard that they hired little people to work inside the wings of planes during the Second World War so they could put rivets in the planes.
Munchies.
So in other words, utilize, you know, people who are different from we are and smaller than we are. Was another justification for that. But the reason that
those very dwarves, right, that worked inside the fuselages and the wings at Boeing and Lockheed, half of them were the Munchkins, became
That's
the
right.
Munchkins in,
and
the other half
That's right.
joined a sex circus.
That's true. Was
there sex circus, a Wizard of Oz, or help the war effort? That's basically kind of the 40s to me.
the most obvious thing on Don't Crush That Dwarf is I'm sure everybody just figured it was a pot joke. That you were.
Oh, I never thought.
Oh, yeah, the pliers. Don't crush that dwarf. Yeah. Hand me the pliers. Hand me the whole thing. Yeah. See?
Oh, that's right, because we used to use
He was gentlemanly. He was an old school gentleman. He had manners. He loved to have friends around him. He loved to carry on. He loved to meet new people. He loved his fans. In the media, there is this other stereotypical presentation of who William Burroughs was. The guy in a three-piece suit with a needle in his arm. But that's not the William I saw. That wasn't him. He was a very complex human.
But none of this biographical stuff is of any interest apart from the actual writing. And what worries me in the centenary year is that everybody's talking about how they met Bill and Bill said this and Bill said that, you know. Actually, no. I mean, people should really read the books.
You have this image, a kind of cold blue, almost ray-like, almost alien image, you know. And of course, he could be like that. He was like that in performances in public. It was his persona. But the real William Burroughs was just a wonderful gentleman and a great artist and a great friend. I miss him very much. I'm really glad to talk about him. It means a lot to me.
I miss him. I miss him. I miss him bad.
Just a wonderful gentleman.
Gentleman.
Centenary year.
I miss him.
Human
means a lot to me.
William talks to me every day.
Alien image.
I miss him.
Read the books.
Old school.
Persona.
With a needle in his arm.
I miss him bad.
What do you think the last words of the program should be? What's your final sum up of Burroughs?
This wonderful American man of a certain generation did his best to shoulder the burden of intelligence and sensitivity and to deal with his pain. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks, Iggy.
All right, man. Awesome.